Warning, the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even, like your efforts are futile, and you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ziprecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So, whether you need to hire 4, 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
Sowing the seeds of cannabis and sounding the praise of our favorite plant, it's time to Hemp Present. Our radio resident hemposapien Vivian McPeak will present a weekly platform for guests and listeners to Hemp Present about hemp and cannabis from the legal, activist, and reformist route. Let's round up and roll it up for our headmaster of hemp, Vivian McPeak.
Hemp% Resistance, the weekly radio podcast where you can get your PhD in THC because you don't just want to burn it, you want to learn it. Seeking to defeat the alternative facts of prohibition one interview at a time and advocating for the plant, the whole plant, and nothing but the plant. Join me for a weekly reefer radio rebellion against prohibition as I speak with some of the principal risk takers, movers and shakers, and history makers of the cannabis industry, culture, and reform movement. I'm your host, Vivian McPeak. I am the executive director of the world's largest annual cannabis policy reform event, the Seattle Hemp Fest, in its 27th year, founded hempfest.org. I'm also the author of the book Protestable, a 20-year retrospective of Seattle Hemp Fest from AHA Publishing, also found at hempfest.org. Today's guest on Hemp Present is Oregon-based musician, activist, and longtime Seattle Hemp Fest core group member, Tim Pate, who's already on the line. I very much enjoy my show here at Cannabis Radio, having the opportunity to have discussions about important topics with activists, authors, attorneys, musicians, parents, and patients whom I greatly admire. It's something that means a lot to me. Sharing those conversations with listeners all over the world for the last 3.5 years has been downright thrilling for me. But this show is a hobby. It's not my job. I do this show on my day off from producing the Seattle Hemp Fest, which I've been doing for the last 27 years with an ever-evolving cadre of fellow community activists. I have literally worked with thousands of volunteers over the last quarter century plus of community organizing, and it remains a privilege and an honor for me. I believe that our collective efforts, combined with the efforts of other regional and national activists, is why my state of Washington was among the first 2 states to begin the process of dismantling cannabis prohibition back in 2012. Since that time, so much has changed. But one senses a landslide looming on the horizon as it feels more and more like prohibition's days are severely numbered, as it should be, because prohibition has meted out so much injustice, so much needless suffering and misery. It's shameful, tragic, and it's all been a complete and total waste. Prohibition has been a policy rooted in racism and fueled by bigotry, fear, hypocrisy, and double standards. To me, my comrades at Seattle Hemp Fest and other events like her that prioritize community values to social justice are heroes and patriots. They are my brothers and sisters in the struggle, and I bring one of those freedom fighters to you as my guest today. This will be Tim Pate's 22nd year on the Cher Parker Memorial Main Stage at Seattle Hemp Fest. Tim spent 9 years with the Grateful Dead on the Rock Medicine team. He also spent 7 years with Portland Hemp Stock as event coordinator, 7 years on the TV show Cannabis Common Sense, which produced 295 episodes, and Tim has logged 6 years on the Administrative Rules Committee for Industrial Hemp for the state of Washington. Tim Pate is featured in 5 books, including The Emperor Wears No Clothes, Protestable, I think I've heard of that one, and Cannabis Saved My Life. He's also the world champion pumpkin carver, and many of his clients include Disney, NBC's Universal's Grimm, ABC, NBC, CBS, and Fox, and Mr. Pate is with me today in the virtual Hemp Present studio. Welcome, Tim, to Cannabis Radio.
Oh, it's a pleasure. It is a pleasure to be with you, Vivian, so much. It is. It's my pleasure to be here. Thank you.
Right back at you, my brother. Tim, I like to begin often with how and when you were initially introduced to cannabis. How did you begin your relationship with the herb?
I was in high school, back in Tulsa, Oklahoma, at Nathan Hill High School, and I was in the smoke hole. And it was late in the year, my senior year, and I had never done it before, quite frankly. I was a pretty clean kid, and somebody offered it to me, and son of a gun, I just did it, and that was that. My relationship expanded in college, not only at the University of Oklahoma, but Oklahoma State University. And then for a while, as an adult, I stopped completely, and I was a minister with the Church of Christ. And so there was a period there where obviously I was not participating in it. And then I stopped doing that, and my little sister gave me some really nice medicine when I was back in Oklahoma visiting, because my father had had a heart attack. And suddenly, I mean, you know, when it's good medicine, your body changes. Suddenly my body was different. I could relax. My lungs were clear. I've been a severe asthmatic for most of my life. And I had a really physical positive reaction to this medicine. And I knew something was different. Something was wrong with what people had been telling me. And so I decided to do a personal exploration and read Jack's book and started very serious dig into what was supposed to be and what it really is correct. And so that's how I got started. That's what, you know, led me. And it's actually what's kept me going all these years now, because I push myself because I know what the truth is, and I can't be convinced of anything other than that. This is the truth, and we need to do something about it. So that's where I started.
How about Seattle Hemp Fest? How did you become involved in the Hemp Fest?
I had a friend who was a peace heathen. And he told me that I was already doing hemp rallies, and I'd been working with the Grateful Dead for many years by that time, working on the rock medicine team. And he said that you guys were having a really great rally up there in Seattle, and I ought to call you. And so you and I had met through the Oregon Country Fair, but we really didn't know each other that well. And at the same time, Scott Heavysage, who was my friend and your friend at the time, introduced us and said, you need to have Tim, and Tim, you need to go do this. And so I came up and played a couple of songs. You graciously let me on stage, even though it was, packed, and I think we only had one or two stages that year, and this was in 95. But at the same time, as soon as I was finished with, playing music, I hung around and did rock medicine in case you needed me, because I'd had a lot of experience at that. So first few years, that's really what I did, was I'd play music and if you let me, and then I'd, hang around and do rock medicine just in case. And then in 99, I opened the show, and you came up to me afterwards, and you basically said, that was good enough, why don't you do it from now on? And I started saying, I thought about it and said yes. And I opened Seattle Hemp Fest for like 15 or 16 years until I retired in the music business a couple of years ago because of health. So I played it. But to me, I think playing something it's nice and it's important and everybody needs it. But I'd much rather contribute more than just that few moments. And so I found a way to sneak into your heart and bring, extra goodies. And so I decided that there was a way for us to start giving away some really neat grand prizes. And I wanted to find a way to, become Santa Claus. That's not really what I meant. But I wanted to be able to raise some money for Seattle Hemp Fest, get some other people involved who really weren't involved in a giving way, and you know, have some fun at the same time. And so all of that kind of worked out by us giving away grand prizes up on the main stage. And by that, I mean, I've been giving away guitars. One reason or another, I was sponsored by some really great guitar companies. And through the years, they've given me quite a few guitars, and I got to keep a couple of them, but the rest of them I've given away. So right now, this is I've given away 19 guitars now, and I've never dreamed that it would, you know, get this far, but it has. And on the guitars that we give away up on main stage at Seattle Hempfest, we have everybody sign them who's been up on stage, even the performers and the incredible speakers and all of the activists and the children who come up and say, you know, cannabis is my medicine. They all get to sign the guitar. And at the end of the weekend, because we have a raffle, people put in money and we raffle that guitar off. And I know that guitar has become incredibly valuable over the years. So I'm glad that we can do it. I'm glad that folks, you know, appreciate what we're trying to do, and then they put in a lot of money so that we can do it.
Here you go. Tell us more about the raffle. What other things are given away, and how does it work?
Well, the raffle is pretty straightforward. You don't have to be present to win. We have a whole bunch of prizes for Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, because Seattle Hip Fest is a 3-day event. And so we give away prizes Friday afternoon, and there's always some kind of water pipes or, you know, big bongs and a lot of gift bags. We have a lot of different people who want us to have, you know, some small prizes, but they all accumulate into quite a lot. So Friday night, we have a big VIP party for Seattle Hemp Fest. It's a traditional thing we've been doing for many years. And we give away a prize from main stage on Friday. We give away prizes at that party as well. And then on Saturday, we'll give away a prize package from Peace of Mind, who's been giving us prize packages now for Saturday for quite a few years. And then on Sunday, we put together a big old bag of all kinds of goodies from all kinds of merchants that come to Seattle Hemp Fest. We've got hundreds and hundreds of booths there, and quite a few of them like to give us something just to give away up on main stage, besides the guitar that you know, we've had everybody sign. So whomever wins the prizes, we call them, and I haven't had a person not call me back yet. So what happens is they call me back and we give away the prizes. We used to be me and you. We'd stand up there and we'd pull out 10 numbers, and because everybody left, we couldn't give away anything. And then we'd have to do it 2 or 3 times, and by then it was too late. So once we went to having everybody put their name and their phone number on the back of the tickets, the drawing of the winners has become very easy. And the things you learn after doing, you know, 20 years of raffles in public. Anyway, what else would you like to know?
I think we're going to hold that thought for a minute. My guest is Tim Pate. We are going to take that first pause for the cause, because we still have to fight the flaws and the laws. Hear a word from our sponsors and advertisers. Come back with our second segment.
Time to roll out for the people that let us hemp present. Hang loose. We're coming right back.
Introducing 420 Cloud, ignited by MSIG, one of the fastest growing social apps around. The only app you'll need for all things cannabis. Find the latest cannabis news, videos, and stories, ranging from business and tech to sports and medicine. Start your career in cannabis by seeking, identifying, and applying for jobs through our expansive listings. For businesses, 420cloud.com features a full-scale cross-channel network, monetizing high traffic for big data conversion and analytics. Download 420 Cloud now from the iTunes Store or Google Play. MSIG.com is a publicly listed company on the OTC, symbol MCIG.
At Alternative Vibes, our core values of quality, loyalty, respect, and honesty guides us in our mission to help families find peace and harmony through our products and services. Whether you are looking for a more natural way of living, shopping essential oils, topicals, and edibles, or searching for a path towards achieving your goals, we are your choice. Learn more about our complete line of natural products and solutions at AlternativeVibes.com. Bringing quality of living to life. AlternativeVibes.com. Are you ready to be inspired and educated by the best of the best in the cannabis industry while enjoying sunny South Florida? Then you cannot miss out on the first annual United States Cannabis Conference and Expo, August 24th through the 26th, inside the Hyatt Regency in downtown Miami. The USCC Expo welcomes all cannabis business professionals, medical cannabis caregivers and clinicians, growers and dispensary owners to join us for this brand new event sponsored by the radio podcast leader for all things cannabis, CannabisRadio.com. Be one of the first to register today at USCCExpo.com. That's USCCExpo.com.
We're back to Hemp Presents, only on Cannabis Radio. Now, back to our headstrong Hemperer of Hemp, Vivian McPeak.
And we're back on Hemp Present with Tim Pate. Tim, in addition to your work with the Seattle Hemp Fest, you also serve on the Industrial Hemp Rules Committee of Oregon State. What does the Industrial Hemp Rules Committee do?
Well, in 2009... the state legislature in Oregon passed an industrial hemp law, and the governor signed it, and it became law. Although it was a law that nobody, we didn't have any rules to administer because they were afraid. It was against federal law at the time, and so there were a lot of issues surrounding the fact that we had a law, but we didn't have any rules. And in 2013, our state representative, Earl Blumenauer, or I call him a rep, but anyway, a politician here in the state of Oregon and one of our federals, he appointed me to a task force that they had just created to write the rules so that we could begin implementing the law. And myself, our state senators, our congressmen, our attorney general, heads of the departments with the agriculture department in the state of Oregon, the head of the Department of Human Services, or the representative from there, and a representative from the state Liquor Control Commission. Also, the head of the Oregon State Drug Enforcement Division for the state police. We were on committee together. So, I was on this committee. Also, there were a couple of farmers, and I think that's pretty much it. There weren't a lot more people on the committee at the time. And we got together, and we started meeting in 2013, and we have accomplished the writing of the rules, and then we made those rules temporary for a period of time, and then here just a few months ago, those rules became permanent. We had hearings and we processed all of the information, and the rules that we created have become permanent. So they are now written in the books, and we are able to and have been able to function in Oregon with the hemp program that we created for a number of years now, and each year that program has demonstrated itself in an exponential growth of acreage that we're growing for industrial hemp here in the state of Oregon. I am really personally pleased to be a part of this, and grateful that I've had the opportunity to have my hand in it. I know that I've not missed a meeting, and I feel like there's been a very significant historical movement in Oregon, and it's only going to continue. I see a great long-term impact in our positive work that we've done here, and because of that, I've also been helpful to the state of Kansas, who's also recently passed their industrial hemp law and are looking to create their own rules, and I sent the legislature in Kansas just in the past week, the rules from Oregon, so that they could at least take a look at those while they're writing the rules in Kansas. So in my opinion, nothing could be better for us than to have an entire nation that has hemp as a background economy that will actually become a primary farming economy once we prove to them how effective that industrial hemp is in making non-toxic building materials and so many other products that we've been touting from the stage, the main stage in Seattle Hemp Fest.
What kind of products? Now. What kind of products can be made from industrial hemp, Tim?
Well, one of the things that I'm very, very interested in, I was on a team of experts back in the early 90s. We wanted to make non-toxic building materials. And so I myself have built over 1,000 houses. I grew up in the building industry. And I would like to see us make non-toxic building materials. So bricks, boards, I-beams, or, 2x4s, 2x6s, 2x8s, those type of structures, those three elements right there are the simplest and most basic elements in building structures. And so if I have those three things, I can build almost anything. And that is the goal of a company that I've formed, so that we can create building materials that are made in a non-toxic way and out of industrial hemp. And by non-toxic, I mean so many of the materials that are used in the building industry have glues and binders in them, and it's natural. You've got to have that.
And you're talking about you're talking about particle board, right? Composite. Obviously, there's no hemp stock large enough to cut a 2x4 out of, right?
That's right. You're correct. But the fibers in the hemp are as long as the hemp plant is as tall. And so if you've got a 14-foot tall plant, you've got 14-foot long fibers. And there's no other fiber in the world that's longer than 3/8 of an inch. And that is the fiber in an old growth Douglas fir tree in the Pacific Northwest, and one of the finest growing, tree environments on the planet. The longest fiber in that plant, in that tree, is 3/8 of an inch long. The longest bundle is 3/4 of an inch. And so when you have a plant that has fibers that are 14 feet long, then you have strength that can be exponential compared to the previous elements, the Douglas fir that we were just talking about. And so what we have here is the ability to create a fiber in nature that is strong. And with the proper chemistry and other components added to it, we believe that we can create not only boards, but bricks and I-beams. We think we can do 3D printing out of it. In fact, it's proven that you can. There are so many things that industrial hemp is capable of doing, and these are on simple levels. If we really wanted to get into the molecular level of it, we could break this plant apart on a molecular level and create a lot more chemically advantageous products. And I want to be careful here, because I'm right in the middle of some very important moves for my company, and I don't want to give too much.
You don't
away.
Want to spill and the beans really with your proprietary information. And you can make hempcrete, which is hemp concrete, right? Now you've got some other hemp projects you're working on as well, or is there anything else you're doing with hemp before the next break?
Well, there's been a lot of CBD brokerage going on in the state of Oregon, and just because there's so many acres here that are growing, and so I've been brokering hemp, I've been brokering CBD and the distillate and the isolate that they've grown and the raw oils. Those that's been an incredible opportunity for people here in the state of Oregon, just because we have that opportunity. It's been going on here. So that's something else that obviously has taken the forefront over the last 6 months to 8 months. I'm really glad to see that happen too. To me, it just makes sense that we're, you know, finally making available the types of medicines that so many people have needed, especially for epilepsy and you know, so many of the issues that you and I have seen in a lot of the people who have come across the stage in Seattle. So that, to me, is a big deal, too. Just making so much available, you know, it's a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful thing.
Tim, I would be remiss if I did not squeeze in before the next break a few of these other questions here. Particularly, could you quickly share a couple stories from your years on main stage at Hemp Fest? What's been a few highlights for you?
I, you know, I thought about that when you asked me that a couple of days ago, just in prepping for this interview, and I really enjoyed when Woody Harrelson showed up. I loved him. He came twice, as you know. You were there both times too, and I enjoyed that. I enjoyed that a lot. I enjoyed playing on main stage with the Herbivores at 420 one year. That was one of my highlights of my life, just being up there in front of all of those people and having that entire, you know, group backing me on a song. And it made my year.
The house band of Seattle Hemp Fest, the Herbivores, right? The
house band. Absolutely, yeah. A house band, they are, and you know, that almost brings tears to my eyes remembering all of that. Just knowing, you know, I also, you know, I remember when we all had to hang back. I remember Cher and you and so many of us, we got caught back in a rainstorm, and we were all trying to hang on for our dear lives backstage underneath this one little canopy. And
97,
you know, huge storm comes. Yeah, rolling across, you know, the bay, and we're hanging on for dear life, and there's thunder and lightning going on, and that was crazy. I also remember the time that the lightning struck right above our heads when we're standing there trying to make a decision whether we're going to close the stages or not, and, you know, and then there's lightning right overhead. It was a crazy moment. I mean, you know, on main stage, you see everything. You see the most wonderful performances by people who are absolutely driven to be there because of their talent. And that's, you know, because of 22 years of seeing that, it's hard to define which ones are best, because they all give their best. You know what I mean? You know what I mean.
You know, I know what you mean, giving, Tim.
They just give so much. They're so excited to be on that stage.
And they're not getting paid. Let's just point out that the vast majority, 95% of the bands that play HempFest, are not getting paid anything.
Not at all.
They're there because they support the cause.
Oh, I know. And you know what? I'm glad of that. I do too. I've come a long way. I've given so much of my life to do that.
You drive to another state once a month just to attend our monthly core group meeting.
It's important for us to get the job done, and you know that. I don't know how else to do that. And I've always felt like, for me, I've been a liaison between Oregon and Washington. Both states have really been hotbed of activity for a long time. And to me, it was very important to remain, to keep those communication lines open. And I've been able to do that, me. And I don't know how that happened for me, but it was because I had the chance. I could drive there. I could do that, and it never hurt me to be, you know, a part of both organizations at the same time.
Tim, and, I want to make sure that we get in, bro, that you are the world champion pumpkin carver. You are the world champion pumpkin carver. What's that all about, man?
Well, I destroyed a Guinness World Record many years ago for fastest time to carve one ton of pumpkins, and so that was years and years ago. That was maybe 10 or 11 years ago. I have been, for the past 18 years, a professional pumpkin carver, and because of that, I've had the chance to work for quite a few organizations that require specialized pumpkin carving. I could get called tomorrow to carve Al Roker on the Today Show. It's happened before. I worked for Grimm, the television series for NBC Universal, and when they had their Halloween special, I carved all their pumpkins. I worked for Disney quite a few times in my lifetime. They are a client. I can name clients actually that I've had for 18 years in a row, and I can carve anything.
How did you start that craft?
Well, you know, I my great grandfather started me when I was 14 years old. I wanted to learn how to carve. I spent the summer with him down in Alabama, and he was 85 and I was 14, and I really wanted to learn. So the reason I asked him is I'm a seventh generation stone carver, and everybody in the family, they were stone carvers and carvers of some kind or another, and they worked in stone. And so I wanted to learn as well, and I learned from my great grandfather. And then I've had some other wonderful teachers over the years. But one year, I happened that like 18, 19 years ago, I moved on to a place called Sovie Island outside of Portland in Oregon. And there was an individual there whom I ran into at the grocery store there on the island. And he invited me to come carve for them because they had a big old pumpkin patch. And I said, okay. So I carved, you know, some pumpkins for him, and they were pretty good pumpkins. Money, and that was fun. I should do that again. So the next year, I did. And they actually had the following year the giant pumpkin weigh-in there, too. And so I started getting to carve giant pumpkins as well as the regular-sized pumpkins. And, you know, one thing leads to another, and suddenly you're carving the world's biggest pumpkin. And somebody's paying you to do it. And, you know, one year after another, after another, after another. And now, 18 years later, I've been carving giants. Last year, I carved close to 90 giants. And I average around 180 pumpkins a year. And I know last year I had 17 different jobs in 17 days in 17 different locations. So
that is crazy.
I travel a lot during that season, and I have some wonderful clients whom I really deeply appreciate, and they appreciate me. And I got a couple of hours on Fox last year and an hour live on NBC, and they consider me a tradition, and so I'll get another hour this year.
Well. I'm gonna turn into a pumpkin if we don't go to the next break. I'm talking to Tim Pace, world champion pumpkin carver. Hear a word from our sponsors. Come back for our final questions.
Time to roll out for the people that let us hemp present. Hang loose. We're coming right back.
Cannabis concentrates have been around for thousands of years. In 19th century America, extracts mixed with other herbs were sold as a miracle cure. Now, Apex Supercritical has elevated the science of extraction into the 21st century. Apex Supercritical is the leader in CO2 extraction, which is the cleanest, safest, and purest way to extract plant oils. ROI in as little as 3 weeks. Our cost-effective systems are fully automated with an industry-leading 3-year warranty. And if we don't have your system in stock, we can build one in as little as 4 weeks, bringing CO2 extraction to the masses. Learn more at apeksupercritical.com. 4-week build excludes high production systems.
Strainwise Consulting is the most sought-after consulting company for cannabis business applications and management contracts. We consulted on the first recreational license in the world and have had an over 95% success rate on applications submitted. The industry is growing at such an exponential rate that building a powerful and lasting cannabis business is a number one priority. Here's Strainwise's Sean Eubanks.
In our first 5 years, we branded and supported 9 medical and recreational marijuana dispensaries and approximately 160,000 square feet of sophisticated and efficient product cultivation.
Strainwise Consulting has the experience and expertise to guide you through the process.
Do you have new ideas that you believe will make a difference in the cannabis industry? Looking to make your brand or service stand out? The first annual United States Cannabis Conference and Expo is seeking sponsors and speakers for its inaugural event August 24th through the 26th at the Hyatt Regency in downtown Miami. Cannabis business professionals, medical cannabis caregivers and clinicians, growers and dispensary owners are all welcome to join us for this brand new event sponsored by the radio and podcast leader for all things cannabis, CannabisRadio.com. Grow with us in this groundbreaking event, the first annual United States Cannabis Conference and Expo, August 24th through the 26th at the Hyatt Regency in downtown Miami. Learn more at usccexpo.com.
We're back to Hemp Presents, only on Cannabis Radio. Now, back to our headstrong Hemperer of Hemp, Vivian McPeak.
We're back with Tim Pate. Tim, I want to ask you two questions. Where do you see the future of hemp going? And how can folks contact you and follow your work and find out more?
I see hemp actually increasing in its common everyday usages in the United States because we're now able to grow it here and we have a supply. The supply means that we can make things, common things. The bigger the supply, the more things we can make. So I anticipate more and more and more farmers coming on board and growing industrial hemp for its many uses across the United States. That is a reality. I can't emphasize enough that is going to be our reality. It's not just a dream anymore. This is going to happen, folks. So get ready for it, and you know, be prepared. If you're ready for it, you can benefit from this completely. If you want to reach me, timpatemusic@aol.com is the easiest way to reach me. TimPateMusic. If you've got questions about industrial hemp, maybe I can answer them or send you in the right direction. If you're writing your state laws and you need a little help and want to know what Oregon did, I'd love to help you there. I really mean that, because there are things that we've done here in Oregon that might benefit you as well elsewhere. So wherever you are at, I just want to wish you well and hope that you have one of the most important hempy worlds. And if you get a chance, come out to the Seattle Hemp Fest. It is the finest party on the planet, and you will never forget it.
Tim Pate, my good friend and brother, it's been such a pleasure speaking to you and bringing your wisdom and experience to our audience. I look forward to seeing you very soon, my bro.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Vivian. It's been a pleasure to be with you.
Hempy Trails. Now I want to get to a weekly feature of Hemp Presents on Cannabis Radio, and that's the quote of the week. And here it is. We applaud Canada for showing federal legislators in the United States what can be accomplished with true leadership and dedication to sound policy. And that is Normal Executive Director Eric Altieri speaking of Canada's legalizing cannabis in the country. That concludes this installment of Hemp Presents on Cannabis Radio. I want to thank Brasco, my man in the control room, and all the Cannabis Radio sponsors and advertisers. Join me next week for some more reefer repartee and cannabis confabulation with some special Hempo Sapien on a journey to justice as we silence the violence, increase the peace, and promote unity in the cannabis community with impunity. Because when it comes to prohibition, you've got the right not to remain silent. Activism requires a voice, so find yours and speak up for justice, because resistance is fertile. Till then, my friends, stay strong, stand tall, toke it easy. Don't forget to email me at hemppresent@gmail.com. The Hemp Present theme song, Take Back the Plants, performed by Sticker Bush and sung by a much younger version of myself. Turn up the music, maestro. I'm out.
Marijuana, THC, sweet sativa, Dicko Queen, Santa
Mia. The opinions expressed on this CannabisRadio.com program are those of the guests and hosts and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff and management of CannabisRadio.com. Any rebroadcast or redistribution without proper consent of CannabisRadio.com is prohibited.